I need the Lord's help this morning. We always do. We're living in a time where there's a lot of religious people that have an expectation of what is out ahead. They expect that out in the east, there's going to be a battle one day. It's going to be the battle of right against wrong. But it's going to be a literal battle. It's going to be Christ and His followers against Satan and his. And the anticipation is Jesus will win. I'd like for us to have a clear understanding today. If we just have an understanding of who Christ is, we'll understand there will never be the literal battle that they're expecting. I'd like for us to start with a verse in Matthew in the 28th chapter and the 18th verse. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." There will never need to be a literal battle between Christ and Satan. And yet today I want to tell you there's a battle going on. It's a universal battle today. We see it happening in our country as the moral decline is spiraling so fast. It's a universal battle. We see it happening over the world. And yet it begins as an individual battle of right and wrong. Satan and his forces against Christ and his in a battle for my soul. Where's the battle? Thinking this morning again of the battle of the mind. A lot of times we look at decisions that we make as just my decisions. Folks, there's influences behind those decisions, those thoughts that come to me that direct me in certain ways. I'd like to give you a couple examples. In the Old Testament, we read about Moses and decisions that he made. And it says, by faith, he chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. A decision that cost him financially. You know, folks, if we're not careful, we will look at business decisions and say the very best for me is, if it'll make me money, that's going to be the best way to go. Moses was able to take this battle that was coming against him. He chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the righteous than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could see farther than this decision that I'm about to make. There's another man that made a business decision. There was nothing wrong in the decision that he made. There was not sin in itself, but it headed him in a direction. We have a warning in the Bible that tells about his decision. It was a three-word warning. Remember Lot's wife. There came to Lot an offer, just a business decision. And it seems like it makes sense to go this way. Abraham has told Lot, you look out over the land and you pick what you want and I'll take what's left. So he did that and he chose the plains that were well watered. A real good business decision, but it headed him in the wrong direction. There's a battle on today for your soul and mine. And if I'm not careful, I will only see it as decisions. What will hurt one way or another when Christ would like to lead me in that decision that has no impact in the wrong today, but it can lead me in the wrong tomorrow? As he chose that plane, it moved him toward a city, Sodom. He wasn't in the city. He was still away from it. But it was very few verses before you find out he had pitched his tent toward Sodom. Few more verses and we find he was living in Sodom itself. Decisions that seemed like it shouldn't have made any difference. It was a good business decision. His uncle had told him you can choose which one you want. But his desires started leading him in the wrong direction. Found himself in the city. And yet we read a scripture that said it vexed his righteous soul day by day. He had something in him that was resisting it. It also had a high price tag. I'm thinking about the men here today and decisions we will make in our life. This seems like it has no effect on anything else, but it's a good business decision. Lot felt that way. And yet at the end of it, it cost him his wife. It cost him family members. It has the same impact for us today. We can make decisions that lead us away from Christ. And we have an intention, one day I'm coming back. Lot was saved, but he had family members that weren't. The decisions that we make today, and we don't see Satan working at all, seems like a good decision. Folks, we need the Lord to guide us, because we can't see what tomorrow holds. And it may be that down the road I'll come back, but I lose family from it. I'm thinking about the verse in Revelations 3 and 20, where Jesus Himself is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear My voice and open the door." Here's a decision that I have to make again. A choice that I have to make if I'll open the door. I'll come in. Jesus Himself will come in and He will help me with my decisions out in the future. I'll sup with Him and He with me. But you know what? Because I make that decision to allow Him to come in today does not guarantee me that for life. Tomorrow, I have to make those same choices. I think about David when he faced Goliath. Just David realized he had nothing but God. And he was willing to go out against Goliath. He was willing to fail, if need be, to be able to show there's somebody that will stand up for God. Was this a spiritual battle? Every one of the Israelites, besides David, was afraid. Were not able to see that God could help them. David was able to see, "All I need is God. These stones really are not what's going to do it. It's going to be God that guides it." It's not enough for me to have success in my life today. I'm going to need to yield to God every day. Because I look at that success and I would think David would follow that all the rest of his life. He would never have anything come to him again but realize God will help me through this battle. There came a day when David said, "I need to number Israel. All the other enemies know how many they have to fight. I want to know how many I have." What direction was that leading him? What did it matter? Yes, everybody else did. But David had a leader, God Himself. And you remember, I think it was Joab, David's commander, when he tells him, "Go out and count the people," he said, "Why would you want to do that? God can do it by few. He can do it by many. We don't want to head down this road." And yet David said, "No, I've got to be able to know." Because I have the Lord leading me today is not a guarantee, because I've got choices to make. I will make choices out in the future that can head me in the right or the wrong direction. I was thinking about Gideon. When the Lord came to him, the angel came to him and said, "By you, we're going to bring deliverance to the children of Israel." You know, one of the first things that angel told him is going to be needed? "You're going to need to go clean up some things around here. There's still some altars made out to Baal. You're going to have to take care of that first before we move on to something else." Folks, in our life, to be able to have the Lord lead us, I've got to sometimes go back and take care of some things in the past to have it good and clear for Him to lead me in the future. I think about that. David wanted to number Israel to see if he had enough for the battle. It tells us how many of the children of Israel there was that went with Gideon to battle. There was 32,000 that started out. And it also tells us in the eighth chapter of Judges that there was 135,000 of the enemy. There's no comparison. This is going to be a slaughter. And yet, what did God do looking at that? God said, Gideon, you've got way too many people. My thoughts and God's thoughts. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We live in a time where my ability to think should be able to handle a lot of situations. But a lot of times it's not God's thoughts. If I had been Gideon, I would have been questioning God. How can it be? Look at the difference already. It's almost 5-1 for me just starting out in this battle. But God takes him through steps. I believe we're in a time where I need to realize God doesn't see things the way I see things. I have got to yield myself to Him. Because if the Lord has said, okay, Dan, you're in lead in here. You need to trim your troops. Would I have done it the way He did it? The first one cleaned out about 22,000 of them when He said, I tell you what, are you scared? Go home. And boy, there was a whole bunch of them scared, naturally, and they left Him. And then God said, now there's just about 10,000 left, and God says, you've still got too many. Okay, well, how am I going to weed these out? If I'm going to narrow it down, I want to see who can hit it with a rock, dead eye. Is that what God said? Okay, take them out in the field and let's do some target practice. No. God's ways are higher than our ways. They were back then, and they still are today. He said, take them down to the brook and have them drink water. And I'll take a pick of them. The ones that drink water this way had nothing to do with if they would be able to handle a battle or not. Those that drink water this way, they will go home. Those that drink it another way. What he did was, this thing is not going to, because he said, lest Israel should vaunt itself. Lest me coming out of this battle, I'm able to say, I tell you what, I was able to handle this in a good way. He let Gideon know, when you come out of this one, you'll know it was God that brought you out. Because even after he gets it narrowed down to 300, well, I'd at least like to get the best weapons I could get. And so the Lord tells him the best ones you can get is a candle, is a pitcher, and a trumpet. That's going to take care of it. We're living in a day of human reasoning. For me to be able to look at it and I decide this is the best way for me. And so often, if I'm not careful, I'm going to choose something that looks okay today, and it is okay today. But down the road, as we heard last night, about 1 degree can lead me in a way that at the end, the very thing I wanted to make heaven my home, I'll miss it. I was thinking of another one. When Syria had surrounded the town of Dothan, they're wanting to take Elisha. You remember the next morning when his servant went outside and he looked around, he saw what was really there. And many times in my battles, that's what I see, is what's really here. And he said, my Lord, look at these things here. What did Elisha say? Were they not really there? He told him, he said, you know what? They that be with us are more than they that be with him. Well, the servant sure didn't see it. And so he prayed, Lord, would you open my servant's eyes? And when he did, he saw what really was available to them. Surrounding them was chariots of fire. Many times today, the devil, you know, and we would like to think it's just my decisions, it's just my thoughts. There are influences behind the thoughts that come to us. The thoughts that come to us that this battle is way too big for me to be able to take on. It is too big for me to take on, but it's not too big for God. And for me to be able to recognize that. In this battle that we're facing, I'm thinking about what's going to fortify me for this battle. When the enemy comes in against me like a flood, it promises the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I would like to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Third verse, it says, for though we walk after in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare, They're not carnal. We're up against things today where the world is trying to face ISIS. And you know, it's not like back when our country was started and the British came over here and they had red jackets on and they all lined up. And if you could shoot fast enough, you might be able to win the battle. Now it is just one person come over and cause a lot of havoc. But our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. He said He will lift up a standard against them when the enemy comes in like a flood. Is there anything that I have to do for that to be able to happen? I'm thinking about a man that did it. I'd like to take a look at him in Psalms. In the very first chapter of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not. This is choices that he's making every day. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he is doing something. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, I have times where the Lord deals with me, Dan, you need to spend some more time reading and praying. This man, it said his delight was in the law of the Lord. You ever go to a camp meeting and you hear messages and you say, I have been lax. I'm going to tighten up those areas of my life. Sometimes we don't realize the value of those areas. Because this man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates. It's what he thinks about day and night. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord has something within me to lift up a standard against him. David, if he had had that as an arsenal, if he had been doing what this man had been doing in his law, he meditates day and night. What a difference it would have made for David. And what a difference it'll make for us. I think about on Sunday mornings when we have our children line up here and they give their Sunday school verses. What's the purpose for that? Is this so that I can show you that my child can learn more verses than you can? Yours can? No. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. So that when the temptation comes, there's something for it. And many times when those things come to us, I can see it just as decisions one way or another. When behind it, there's a battle going on. The battle for my mind. I'd like to go to a verse, because way back with the children of Israel, God recognized the importance of this. In Deuteronomy, in the 6th chapter, and in the 4th verse, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Boy, there's people in the world having a lot of problem with that today. I see bumper stickers that say, coexist. And somewhere in that lineup of everybody's religion, there's a cross. If you want to believe in Christianity, join it up with all the others. This one says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then he starts in to teach me the things that will help me to fortify best against the enemy of my soul. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. Blessed is the man that chooses to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He makes some choices to separate himself from the world. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That was a law from way back there. For me to, I command these words I command you this day in the 6th verse, let them be in your heart. Not just in your memory. Let them go down to where they are. They're available when the enemy comes in like a flood. And then not just for me, but that I would pass them on down to my children. There's another verse in Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 105. Thy word, it's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my pathway. We're living in a time when there is darkness all around us. The Scripture talks about it being a gross darkness. And yet there can be a light. Thy word, O Lord, is that light for me. To be able to give me direction in this time. Because I tell you, the focus that wants to come to me is to view the darkness. To see it getting worse and worse and wondering what does the future hold. Some of you here are old enough to remember back in about 1970 when Russia put out a claim, we'll take America without a shot. Now, you know, that's a scary thing, kind of like where we are today. And I remember the fear that it put in people that had little children, wondering, Lord, what does the future hold for this? You know, that threat came and went, and nothing happened from it. Well, we're looking at another threat today. And if we're not careful, our eyes will focus on the threat and the things that can happen to the future. I am very thankful today that in America we have freedom. We just went through the day of Thanksgiving. It was intended to be more than just I'm thankful we have a lot of groceries that we can eat. Folks, we should be so thankful that in America today we still have the freedom to meet together and worship God. There are a lot of places that don't have that. And not just for this camp meeting, but when I go back home and the Scripture tells me, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching, that I would see the value of that. That is, in this battle that we're facing of right against wrong, that is one of the things that can fortify me, is when I come in contact with the Word of God. Not that I just wait until Sunday morning for the preacher to give it to me, but that I'm seeking the Lord throughout the week. Wednesday night prayer meeting. Well, you know, I'm halfway through the week and I'm kind of tired out from work. But you know what? It's real important for me to come and hear how the Lord helped you through that part of the week. And it encouraged me to be able to be helped through the remainder of the week. Thy word is a lamp. However it comes to us, I want to receive it. There was something in Germany the past 3 years that we have watched. There's a people there that is very careful. It's like what this says. I want to be led by the Lord. So the young people, they are very careful about what they listen to. They are, when we go there, they have songs they want to sing. And it's pull out the old songbook. They like to play musical instruments at home when we all get together. And it is, bring the blue book with you. We'd like to learn some more songs. What is that doing? That's building a reserve. It's the same thing that we want to happen in our children as they're growing up and we're teaching them the Bible stories. The Bible stories are intended for more than just to help my child to wind down and be ready to go to sleep. It was intended for it to build faith in that child that when the battles start coming to me, there can be help for me also. We're living in a time where peace, the very thing we want the most, can flee from us. I can lose peace. A lot of events happening today that can cause that. It's part of the battle. The devil would love for us to feel, boy, there's defeat coming for the Christian. Peace starts departing us. But you know what? Jesus said he gave us a promise. I'd like to look at that promise because it hasn't changed. It's in John, the 14th chapter. And in the 27th verse. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. You know, the United States over the past many years has been trying to make peace happen. And it seems like just about the time it seemed like it's almost to settle down here, it pops up in another place. And we're off to fight that war. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, I give it to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Do you remember when he looked out over Jerusalem and he started weeping? He said, if you had only known the things that I had for you, if you had only known the peace that I wanted to give you. They wanted peace. The children of Israel, when Jesus came, there was a time that they wanted to make him king because they thought he's going to be able to bring about some changes for them. What they had looked for was they wanted a leader that would be able to get them out from under the Roman rule. And yet we see all of Jesus' teachings, he almost never even mentioned it. In fact, when he did mention was, if you happen to be a servant, you be the very best servant you can be. Do it as unto Christ and not as unto men. Don't be to the soldiers. He was saying, don't be disgruntled about your pay. Learn to be satisfied with things. You know what? That's the only way we're going to have peace. If I'm looking at all conditions around me of lining up just right and I've got peace, if it happens, it'll be short-lived. Had the children of Israel had a commander come in and he would have defeated the Romans and they would have been on their own, it would have been a short time till someone else comes. In my life, if I'm looking for peace because conditions have all just lined up, I may enjoy it for a little bit, but it'll be gone soon. He wants to give me some peace that the world can't give. There's a song that we sing sometime, a peace that is not depending on my troubles relenting. Right in the middle, there's another song, there is peace in the midst of the storm. Though the world all around is raging and is filled with many alarm, trust in Jesus and He'll keep you in the middle of the storm, in the midst of the storm. That's the confidence that we can have today. And we need to realize there's a battle going on. When the thoughts start coming to me of depressing thoughts of what the future holds, remember, those aren't my own thoughts. Satan is in a battle. Because if I will yield to Christ, there's another verse that says, Isaiah 26:3, a guarantee, a promise. In a day when promises aren't worth very much, this one is a promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How is it? Whose mind is stayed on thee? So I have something to measure myself with. As my peace departs me, I can measure and say, where's my mind? Have I started, and there's nothing wrong with it, have I started listening to the news today? And I found myself doing that recently. Wonder what they did today. I wonder what attack happened today and the promises they have that this one will happen tomorrow. I want to tell you something that can rob your peace. In a time where Jesus says, I tell you what, I got some peace for you. It'll carry you through no matter what happens. I am so thankful for that. 2 Timothy 1:7. Because there can be a lot of fears of what the future holds. And that verse tells us, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us a power, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Solid mind to be able to make rational decisions by God's help in the day and time we're living in. There's another verse that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I thought about this with Mary and Martha. When they were able, they had the opportunity of sitting at His feet, Him being able to give them instruction of how to live their life. I wish sometimes I had that. You know, I think about the times when they were able to meet up with Him personally and ask the questions that they had, and He would give them the answers that they needed. It seemed like I wish I could go see Him. But Jesus realized Himself, that's not going to be possible for everybody to be able to do it. So He said, it's going to be expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not be able to come. Folks, He never intended us to fight this battle against Satan on our own. He intended for us, when He said all power was given to Him in heaven and in earth, and now He's going away, He intended us to be able to take advantage of the Holy Spirit in our life, to be able to let Him be the guide. And I remember the verse back in Isaiah where it says, you'll hear a voice behind you when you get ready to make a decision to go to the left or the right, that voice will tell you, this is the way, walk ye in it. To me, that's one of the best descriptions of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives today in 2015. Where I would make decisions and I'd say, I believe this is the right way to go. You know, temptations come. I was thinking about the fourth chapter of Matthew when Jesus was tempted. When the devil himself came to Jesus with temptations. And what I learned from that is Satan knows Scripture also. Because several times in that he gave him a verse. You do this because here's a verse to go along with it. Jesus didn't have to go and say, wow, that is a verse. I'm going to have to go do some studying because there must be something that balances that verse out. No, immediately there came to Jesus the answer for that with another verse. Folks, it's not enough for me to go look through the Bible and find one verse and take off and run with it. Because there is the whole Scripture will balance that out if I will let it. I need the Holy Spirit to be my guide in this day and time that we're living in. Because had I the choosing of my pathway, the very thing that we've been talking about this morning, that Nelson was talking about, that in the end, I want to make heaven my home. I can have that goal. It's not enough to have that goal. I'm going to have to make choices every day because I think of that song that says, God's way is best. Had I the choosing of my pathway, at my very best, in blindness, I'd go astray. I'd wander far away in darkness, and I wouldn't reach that land of endless day. That song ends with that last verse where he's saying, Lord, I hand it all. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me and safe to glory bring my soul. I need to realize this is a spiritual battle that I'm facing. I can make temporal decisions that are going to make a direction for me spiritually of whether I make heaven or hell my home at the end. I need the guidance. And he has promised that guidance for us. I'd like to encourage everyone today. Let's seek for the Holy Spirit to guide my life. And to do that, I find for him to lead me better, I've got to dump out my own thinking. I've got to allow him to be able to direct me. I want to close with something. In this battle that we're facing, we each one have a mental library. It is thoughts that we have developed over the years and chose to store them or chose to dump them. If we could each one just quietly for a minute look into the library that we have built, what's the main one in the forefront of your mind? Folks, there have been people that had a wrong done to them and they built to that library to where the very first thing they see when they stop long enough to be able to think is that comes back to them. It can be imaginations. It can be what I think somebody thought about me. Folks, what the Lord would like to do is thy word have I hid in my heart. That we would build this in the library of our mind, that we would get rid of some things that are not good for me spiritually. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about just things that occupy my mind. That I would fill it with Scripture. That I would spend more time, and I'm saying this for myself, thy word have I hid in my heart because I need it to give me direction out in the future. The library of my mind that I would choose, I'm going to get rid of this book of memories, of thoughts that has not been good for me. And I choose to replace it. We're given instruction on how to build the book. I'd like to look at it in closing. In Philippians, he gives us direction on how to do it in the 4th chapter and in the 8th verse. Finally, brethren, let's start building our book, adding it in, and checking to see does it fit these qualifications. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, and of good report. If there be any virtue, And if there be any praise, let me start spending my time thinking on these. Because if we will do that, we will be able to have the same testimony that Paul had at the very end of his life. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And the very thing I wanted the most, I now obtain. Fought a good fight, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, and not for me only, but everybody that loves His appearing. It's available for us. Folks, let's realize this is a spiritual battle that I'm facing. The decision, the choices that come to me and I feel like there's nothing attached to them, let's seek the Lord. Is there something on down the road that this will lead me into that will jeopardize my soul? I've been asking the Lord, Lord, would You put in my path those things that will give me the very best opportunity to make heaven my home? And I want to tell you, I'm finding when I pray that way, He sends things that I did not want to come into my life. But it's there to change who I am and cause me to be ready on that last day. I desire Your prayers.